And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Our temperature has just hit 80. It was a strange day. We had that dense fog everywhere early this morning. Took forever to burn off. Even late morning, it was still very hazy. It finally started to get a little sun. Still talking about mid or upper 80s today, and then, of course, 90s. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Real heat wave that we have to deal with. But, on the other hand, it's better than shoveling snow, right? Our guest today, we welcome him, as always, Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College. Dr. Neupower, good to see you.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Summertime and the living is easy. Did you ever go to a summer term when you were in undergraduate school?
Good question. I did, as a matter of fact. After my senior year, at Penn State, so I was not able to graduate the normal spring graduation. I needed, I believe, two or three classes that last summer term, and so that was at University Park. And then, as I recall, my freshman to sophomore year at Penn State Beaver, I took a psych, a soc, and of all things, a theater class. So, yes, I as a student, I did have a couple of summers.
I did it once. My 4 years in undergraduate school and college, I had to work in the summer to earn tuition for the rest of the next year, which most everybody did, by the way, in those days. But one summer I did take classes, and it was very different. There seemed to be less pressure. I don't know. First of all, there were fewer students on campus, and it was a totally different atmosphere from, in the fall you got the leaves, the colored leaves. In the winter you got snow and ice everywhere. And it was just kind of bizarre to be walking around on campus with green leaves and warm temperatures and so on. I enjoyed it, really, but it was different.
So was that at University Park?
It was, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. It was a different pace. It seemed to be, frankly, more of a laid-back pace, even though it was a shorter time period. While I took the classes at Penn State Beaver, that was interesting. My goodness. I was a playground instructor, umpired Little League, Pony League, Colt League games, and actually was a stringer for the Elwood City Ledger on top of taking summer classes. So yes, that was part of the model. The model in our family was that what I made in the summer was my spending money for the semester. And I recall having saved $1,000. I would get paycheck, cash it at the bank. I'm assuming I had a checking account, but I remember doing this and giving the money to my mother. And then at the end of the summer, she pulled out the envelope, and I couldn't believe it was $1,000. And that $1,000 is pretty much what lasted me for my spending money. So, yeah, that was absolutely the model. I agree with you. It was a different type of atmosphere, and that's what's going on the Hill and online, and certainly at all of our BC3 campuses. We have so many summer classes. We're officially through with offering new summer classes. We've mentioned this before, but we have various start times. We have a 10-week, a 3-week, an 8-week, a 6-week, and online classes. And best of all, with what's happening this summer at BC3, is the fact that our summer enrollment is up, which nowadays, if there's any type of increase in enrollment, that's a very good number.
It's also very rare at schools all over the place.
It is, yes. And we have an enrollment where we're up about 1.6 in headcount, 1.6 credits, 1.6 in headcount, I should say. And, of course, we have not only our terrific BC3 students, but we have a number of guest students. So while you and I mentioned that we took our summer classes at University Park and I took it at Penn State Beaver, what we find is that we have students who go away to the senior institution, will come back home, I'm assuming most of them work, and then also take a class or two at BC3.
Mm-hmm. Since we last had a chance to sit down and chat, state lawmakers and Governor Wolf in Harrisburg finalized a state budget, passed a state budget. Do we know yet about the appropriation for community colleges? I think last year it stayed flat, right? There was no increase or anything. What about in the coming year?
Yeah, my recollection is that is correct. And this year, the 14 community colleges received approximately a 2.5% increase. What that meant to BC3 was an operating increase of 1.8%. So that's good. It meant that means that we will be receiving an extra $150,000 in our state allocation. And overall, we receive just shy of $9 million in operating. You know, there's the difference between the operating and the capital dollars, a little under $9 million from the state. So certainly every dollar helps. We went a number of years where we were flat. And, of course, there were a few years under the Corbett administration where we really got whacked in terms of our funding. Mm-hmm. And even better news was the fact that the special grant that we received for our BC3 at Brockway campus received an increase of $18,000. So overall, about $170,000 increase from the state. And just as a point of reference, our overall operating budget at BC3 is roughly $31 million.
The state budget, by the way, this was all accomplished without any increase in taxes or fees from Harrisburg. They were able to do that because state revenues exceeded what they had predicted. So mm-hmm. state took in more money than they thought they would, and so they were able to hand out a few increases. Not everybody got it, but community colleges got at least some. The difference between operating and capital is for, like, repairs, if you have to pave a road on campus or something like that, correct?
Yeah, that is a great clarification for our listeners. So capital would be bricks and mortar, deferred maintenance, also the allowance for leases. So in Lawrence Crossing, Lawrence County, Union Township, as an example, certainly there are no Butler County taxpayer dollars that go toward that venture, but the state really wants the 14 community colleges to go into what's called underserved areas. So in that particular model, the state will pay half of the lease, that's technically under the capital allocation, to our landlord, and then through the revenues that we receive from the students who are taking classes in Lawrence County, specifically Lawrence Crossing, they would pay the other half. So capital projects like the upcoming Victor K. Phillips Nursing and Allied Health Building, the Heaton Family Learning Commons, deferred maintenance. We've had some blacktopping, some paving that's going on. We need to get moving on some roofing from some of the original buildings, and then, of course, leases as well.
The Board of Trustees at Butler County Community College approved a small tuition hike for the coming year. When some folks would see that headline, it's a little bit deceptive.
Yeah.
Because it was minor, and it's still, you know, the tuition rate to go to BC3 is still very low compared to other schools.
Yes, in the past it has been the lowest in Western PA, Eastern Ohio, and Northern West Virginia. And right now we're checking out the tuition figures for colleges and universities in that same demographic to see if we are still the lowest. It's something that our trustees take very seriously. So a $4 or $5 tuition increase. So let's assume that, you know, you take 15 credits, you do the math. There might be some who would think that that's not that big of a deal. Our trustees spend a great deal of time talking about tuition increases. They know our most important asset at the college, not only in Butler County, but across northwestern Pennsylvania, is our students. So there is a lot of time spent in the finance committee with our chief financial officer, Vice President Roboski, to take a look at these increases. And yes, there was an increase. But it's interesting, something that we've done over the last 3 or 4 years, while we benchmark against other community colleges and where our tuition is, of course, that's not our competition. Allegheny County students, for the most part, don't come to BC3 unless it's a unique program.
Mm-hmm.
So from a state perspective, it's good to share those data with the state legislators. Certainly, we benchmark what's going on with the state system. And, of course, we have terrific agreements with the Slippery Rocks, IUPs, and Clarions of the world. And congratulations to the state system. They had a freeze in their tuition.
First time in a long time.
Long time. And that benefits our students because we have such a great relationship. So many of our students transfer to the PASCHE institutions. Frankly, a benchmark that we've been using over the last few years is how our tuition stacks up against the federal Pell Grants that our students would receive. And when we increase the tuition, will our students still be covered by federal Pell? And then if you throw in the FIA, the state grants, it's a very unique, interesting benchmark. And when we raise the tuition, we analyze all of those variables, but the one we pay most attention to is for our students and our student-centered environment, how will this tuition increase impact their federal Pell and their state grants? And frankly, even with the tuition increases, there's a lot of room yet for full Pell students for Butler County and even our out-of-county students.
I never had Pell grants. Now, I got FIA grants when I was in undergraduate school. FIA, Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency.
That's
goes
correct.
By FIA. I got grants there, but Pell is, that's from the federal government,
that's
right?
That's from the federal government.
I never had any of those.
Yes, and other federal type dollars that come to the college would be Perkins grants. That is used for our occupational programs, and while that's not used for tuition assistance, that's been of great help to the college. We have all the GI mm-hmm. bills and GI assistance. We have been recognized as a veteran-friendly institution. We do have a number of veterans, so our students do access that. And there would be federal work-study money also that would be available. So while we have often talked about the three legs to our revenue stream, our funding, theoretically, according to the Community College Act from 1963, one-third state, one-third local sponsor, and one-third tuition, the reality is that the federal dollars that come into the college, they come in a different way, most of which goes directly to the student to help pay the tuition, is just as important as those other three legs. And I spent an awful lot of time with Representatives Kelly and other federal representatives, Toomey and Casey, what have you. And it's important that they're very aware of the federal funding that we end up getting.
We see a lot of stories in the national media, magazines, and so on about the massive student debt. We see these horror stories of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s still paying off student debt from college. It's worth pointing out that many, many students who graduate from Butler County Community College are debt-free.
Yes. Yes, 75% of our students are debt-free. And ironically, you bring up this point. I was just interviewed by the Butler Eagle, so not sure when it will run. But there was an article from Wallet Hub that just came out that said that Pennsylvania students have the second highest debt load across the country. And I believe, although PASCHE did just freeze its tuition, that Pennsylvania's public institutions, 32, have the highest tuition of the public institutions. And certainly Penn State and Pitt, I believe, are one and two in that category. Why 75% of our students leave BC3 debt-free? Not only is our tuition low, but we're doing a tremendous job raising money. The total assets in the college, since I've been president, have gone from roughly over $8 million to now about $19 million. Our endowment has increased significantly. We give well over 100 scholarships, depending upon the year, a couple hundred thousand dollars in scholarships for our students. So that helps keep that debt load down. And in the any opportunity I have to talk about debt load, I mentioned that it is my belief, one person's belief, and having daughters that just went through college and one who will be finishing this year, is that it is up to an individual and their family for the higher education choice. Mm-hmm. I believe, frankly, what's taken place in our household is looking at the return on investment. That figure of student loan debt coming out and the average salary for the particular profession that you have chosen as a major, if the average salary, let's say for a teacher, it's $42,000, let's say that for a student would come out with $30,000 in debt, you're on the right side of that formula. If you're on the opposite side of that formula, let's say that you're graduating with $70,000 in debt and you're starting at $42,000, the numbers might indicate that you'll have a hard time ever catching up. You're upside down there. And our daughters and so many students who have utilized BC3 and community colleges as part of that proactive plan to keep student debt down, to get the appropriate terminal associate's degree, and then perhaps transfer. So it's up to an individual, student, family, what have you. But I am a firm believer that if a community college is factored in, and let's say that you would factor in a state university, IUP, Clarion, Slippery Rock, is that that debt load could be nothing, or if there is a debt load, it would be very manageable because of that choice that was taken.
I'm always a little bit leery of these national online surveys that come out, whether it's Wallet Hub or whatever, Wallet Hub. My gosh, they come out with a survey every couple of days on something. But if you're talking about cost of higher education across the country, there's such a variety in from state to state in how much states help students. California, for example, if you live in California, it costs a heck of a lot less. If somebody from Butler wanted to go to UCLA or Southern Cal, you'd be paying top bucks. But if you're a resident there, it's my understanding that that state really helps to subsidize their college education a lot. So,
And California, 104 community colleges.
Wow!
So their model is really a heavy emphasis on a community college or some circles still known as a junior college, but that really does help to factor in. And you have the agreements with those senior institutions where you have junior standing. Today's Chronicle of Higher Education, talking about Alaska and other states where higher education has absolutely just been walloped and thrashed in terms of its funding. And I'm not saying in some cases that that isn't justified, frankly. Mm-hmm. In the Chronicle article, it talked about an author who penned something in 1910 that talked about administrative bloat and the appropriate use of universities with taxpayer dollars back in 1910. So this has always been around. I'm very proud to say, as it relates to BC3, and one of the many reasons why we're on very solid financial footing, is we run a lean and mean outfit. It's absolutely essential. And as leader of the institution, I need to walk the talk. So in my time as president, I believe that we've stripped two or three executive-level positions from my executive cabinet. At one point, we used to have a great vice president for workforce development and off-campus sites, Bill O'Brien, kind of a legendary name at BC3. And when Bill retired, part of what Bill's duties were went to Vice President Willoughby, and the other half went to Dr. Richardson. Mm. So there is a fine line. We don't overbuild. We don't overstaff. But on the other end of that, at what point is there the tipping point where the workload just becomes too much?
One more question about tuition. I need to squeeze a break in here, though. Hey, we're talking to Dr. Nick Newpower. He's the president of Butler County Community College, visiting with us on It's Your Turn today. One of our sponsors is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Folks, this Saturday, They begin their summer and early autumn collection of excess garden produce. So if you have some of that, and this really starts to happen as we get into late July and August, because there are a lot of backyard garden crops that start coming on all of a sudden. You know, you wait for those tomatoes, and suddenly you got them, you know, you got baskets of them sitting on the back porch. If you have extra, whether it's tomatoes or peppers or beans or whatever, consider donating this excess backyard garden produce to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They make it very easy to donate. They have a collection every Saturday morning, starting this Saturday. It's first one. You can just take your items to the St. Michael's Social Hall. It's right behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue on Butler's south side. Drop off your stuff. It'll be delivered to needy families through the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank on Monday. And what a treat, and what a healthy treat it is for them to have fresh produce. So think about it. It's been a very successful program for St. Vincent de Paul for quite a few years, and it begins this Saturday. One of our other sponsors is your friendly neighborhood shipping center, and that's Going Postal Butler, located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. What do they do there? They package your items for shipping. How convenient is that, right? You don't have to hunt around for the box. It's really sometimes drive yourself crazy trying to find the bubble wrap or the, you know, special mailing tape stuff for the labels. Just take items to Gone Postal Butler. They'll package them up and ship them out for you. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, your choice to do that. They have other services too, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Gone Postal Butler. They're open Monday through Friday. Call them if you need more info. 724-841-0044. Gone Postal Butler. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Dr. Nick Neupower with us on the program today. We were talking about tuition. How do most students pay tuition at Butler County Community College? Do you pay a flat rate if you're a full-time student, or do you pay by the credit hour, or can you do it either way? How's that work?
That is a very good question, and I'll answer it a couple of ways. In my time as president, we did go to a full-time rate. We figured that our full-time students utilize more services on campus, and because of that, and this is a normal model for a senior institution, from 12 to 17 credits, our students do pay a flat rate. From credits 1 through 11, it is a per credit, and then I believe 18 or higher, it might revert back to a per credit cost. This was something that is a recent change. I say recent, perhaps within the last few years. Years seem to run together. But we used to have a model where we had our students pay everything up front. And we have since gone to a payment plan. We were one of the outliers that did not have a payment plan. We ended up with a payment plan. There have been some tweaks. What you end up getting into is collections and the folks who don't end up paying it. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that that we have tightened that so that the default on the payment is significantly lesser than we first started the program. But we do allow our students the opportunity for payment as a part of a team, mother and father team, that pays tuition for our daughter at IUP. It's not like the old days where our parents or we would get the bill mailed at home, and you could either mail it, or I believe in our case, what would that be, bursar's office, is that you would, that long line.
Forgot about that term.
Yeah, that brings chills, because generally when you were in the bursar's office, you were paying for your tuition.
Yeah.
Now, just like everything else, it's done online.
Electronically.
Electronically. Hmm. And it's amazing. Electronically, harken back to when we were in school, and at Penn State it was that real thick, god-awful, just agate-type blue book, if you would remember.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, as a print journalism major and your major, you would literally go to, the blue book was the course catalog, and very small type, and as you took classes, you would check them off,
yeah.
and you would pencil those in. And then once you got toward the end of your career, I know for me, as a communication student, would go to, if I could picture the building.
Carnegie?
It was the Carnegie building. Very good. Yeah. And now I think it's known as the Belisarius College of Communication.
That's right. They renamed it.
They renamed it.
Donald Belisarius from NCIS gave them gazillions.
That's right. And Magnum PI, my personal favorite. And towards the end of your college career, your senior year, you would go in for an audit, and you'd go back a couple, 3 days later, and with the handwriting of the person in the office, they would pencil in the classes that you were keeping track of in your course catalog.
Yeah.
That is all automated now. Mm. And again, keep referencing our daughter, a former BC3 student who's heading into her senior year. Dad, of course, still goes to the IUP catalog and in pencil marks it. And once you get the letter grade, you put the check by it. Once you have the proposed schedule, it goes in, but you don't put the check in the letter grade. And the beauty is that now you're able to double check the work by going online. It is the same system where it has your course schedule, where you put where you pay your tuition bill, your meal plan, your room and board type thing, and it also keeps track of your classes and scheduling.
Well, I think it's eminently equitable that the BC3 has the two-tiered system, especially at a community college, because you have students who are, especially students who might be just out of high school, they're full-time students. They can pay a flat tuition fee. But at the community college level, you have a lot of people who are working.
Yes.
And they're maybe taking one or two courses.
Yes.
And, you know, it would be unfair to make them pay a full tuition rate. So I think it's
good. What a great point. And actually, you throw in the fact that now you have the online also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, technically, you could be taking a class and really rarely step on campus. So we appreciate that. And frankly, when we shifted many years ago, my goodness, if I started in 07 in this position, this might have been about 09 or 10. And we shifted. And actually, part of our rationale was that was President Obama's 2020 graduation goal. I don't know if that would ring any type of bell whatsoever, but part of our rationale was in order for you to get out on time, a two-year graduation path, is that there would be an increased amount of student affairs and student services that would be attached. And when we made the conversion, I don't believe that we received any kind of pushback from our stakeholders.
Hmm. Well, listen, I want to talk about, because this was exciting news. We just had a big story on this here on WISR on our regular newscast. It was a couple of weeks ago, as I recall. A new partnership between Butler County Community College and Grove City College, and it has to do with nursing students. And this is pretty exciting news, Dr. Newpop.
Yes. Well, thank you. And exciting for a lot of reasons. And perhaps to some of our listeners, or maybe even going back on my time at BC3, which this is about 20 years, almost 20 years to the day that I've been at the college, for Grove City to be mentioned in the same sentence as BC3 20 years ago, that really would have been unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And great credit to the visionary president at Grove City, President McNulty, and working together and mentioning that, of course, this is, maybe our listeners don't know this, but students will select Grove City for a few reasons. Excellent academic quality, very mission-driven,
mm-hmm.
and a residential experience. And our colleagues from Grove City have said that over the years, whenever they host students in the summer for a recruitment trip, or have open houses recruiting students from across the country, is that these students will ask if Grove City would have a BSN program.
That's Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And in this day and age, rather than start their own, why not go to a champion, number one ranked community college, and all the accolades that go with BC3? So that's exactly what it is that Grove City did. And you have this terrific BSN partnership where this will be an add-on to our existing program. Grove City students, can't emphasize this enough. It's a very clear message from the trustees when we talk to Grove City's administration. Our trustees, these Grove City students who will be enrolled in this unique program, will not take the seats of any of our BC3 students. I want to make that very clear. And the model would be unique. I'll put it this way, just for clarification purposes. It'll basically be a 1-to-1 model. Students are recruited to Grove City College as freshmen. These are Grove City students. They will take many of the gen eds that are associated with our nursing program. They will get that residential, mission-driven experience at Grove City. Year 2 and 3, these students will be transported from Grove City to BC3. They will stick as a cohort, roughly a 20 to 22-person cohort of these students. It will not be 5 days a week, probably would be 2 or 3 days a week, but Grove City will provide that transportation. These students will enroll in our RN program with these gen eds under their belt and even taking some gen eds concurrently while they're at BC3. In 3 of the 4 semesters that they are at BC3, they will have more BC3 credits than they would Grove City credits. Year 4, these students with the RN under their belt, they'll count as our graduates. Their licensure scores will count as BC3 students. Technically, they would be ready to go out and work as RNs. Mm-hmm. And there's been some talk that they might even be able to do some RN work while they go back to Grove City College to take not the clinical, not the laboratory, but the BSN theory type courses. And they will do so with a Grove City faculty member in a new Grove City, which will be called the Charles Jr. and Betty Johnson School of Nursing. Mm. It is as out of the box as we've ever been. We've had 3+1 agreements. We've had articulation agreements. You know that we have what we call degree completion partnerships on our campus. This is such an incredibly unique model that will address the very important nursing shortage that's not just locally but across the country.
And from Grove City's standpoint, and you and I have talked about this before, about so many schools seemingly have duplication of services.
Yeah.
The Grove City trying to start a nursing program, why not take advantage of the already existing and top-notch and highly rated clinical and lab work that's done in the nursing department at Butler County Community College? So they don't have to worry about setting that up and all that expense.
Yes.
But they can do their so-called book work, non-clinical studies at Grove City. I mean, it's like brilliant, you know?
It is, Dave. And in this day and age, and actually you probably read the release, in this unique period of higher education, where there's so much going on, and this is what we do so well, the key is collaboration and partnership. The key is not duplication of efforts. Actually, in New Jersey, I don't have the names of the schools, but just recently, a private school in New Jersey and a community college in New Jersey, not separated all that much geographically, they've joined forces, frankly. Mm-hmm. That happened in Ohio. Rio Grande, I believe, is the way that you would pronounce it. And we're old-timers. There was a legendary basketball player by the name of Bevo Francis many, many, many years ago, than when Rio Grande was a 4-year liberal arts school. What's happening there is that you have a community college offering the first 2 years and the liberal arts institution with a lot of athletes that are taking classes. It's combined. Fairmont State and Pierpont in West Virginia. So while we're not sharing space, it's the next best thing, and it is addressing that high priority occupation need. And frankly, can't tip my hand much further than this, but I would say in the coming months we'll have even more great news to share about this with Grove City. And of course, this is all coinciding with the advance of our Schaefer School of Nursing and the eventual building of the Victor K. Phillips Nursing and Allied Health Building.
We're talking with Dr. Nick Neupower today on It's Your Turn. He is the president, of course, of Butler County Community College. I can remember a long, long time ago, I don't remember exactly when I first heard about the metrology program at Butler County Community College. It's got to be at least 30 years ago, yeah. I'm sure. I must confess, I didn't know what the word meant. And it's still confused with meteorology for some folks. This is different. It's metrology, which, if I remember correctly, can be defined as the science of measurement. And we're not talking about, you know, 2 1/4 inches or 3 feet or something. I'm talking about very, very fine measurement. Butler County Community College was one of the first schools to offer advanced study in this area, and the program remains well-known throughout the country. In fact, this may be the first time that I heard of it. There were a group of students that came from the Middle East.
Yeah?
I don't know, Saudi Arabia, Syria, somewhere like that. They came to Butler specifically to study metrology at BC3. It's a long preface to some good news, because you got some new tool to help with the metrology program.
Your memory is unbelievable. So those were students from Ghana and Kuwait. And overall, since 1981, when the program debuted, 62 credits, we've had 225 students graduate. You are correct. We are among the few community colleges nationally to offer an associate's in metrology. Others include Central Georgia Technical College in Macon, Georgia, and Monroe County Community College in Monroe, Michigan. There's a number of Monroes, I believe one in New York also, but this one is in Michigan. We are the only community college in the country to offer an associate degree in metrology with triad coursework in chemical, electrical, and dimensional metrology. And that's according to one of our excellent professors, Kevin Rudiger. And to your point, we recently had a $90,000 piece of equipment. I have to read this. A Quantum S 2.5 meter, 7-axis articulating arm coordinate measure ring machine.
Easy for you to say.
You and I learned about the inverted pyramid, the W's and the H, and here is a Quantum F. a national company, Faro, F-A-R-O, donated this, and it is estimated that it is a $90,000 tool that gives BC3 metrology students the ability to measure in three dimensions simultaneously. Tools allow students to use handheld pea-sized tactical probe to touch an object and create with related computer software, or switch to a laser line probe to scan objects. Actually, I'm getting dizzy reading all of this stuff. It's incredibly impressive. Great faculty, great history, and this just speaks to the quality of students that we have.
Hey, folks, you hear about STEM education these days, STEM careers. Not just Carnegie Mellon. You better look into what's offered at BC3. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more with Dr. Neupower here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after this.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
With temperatures rising, pests have been more active than ever. Osterling's Lawn and Garden has just what you need to help keep those pests away. They have fly traps, ribbons, baits, sprays, mosquito repellents to help protect your houses and barns. There's plenty of grain-free dog food, Perfect Coat dog shampoo, canned cat food, and cat milk replacers in stock. Even horse halters and horse brushes are still available. Stop by Osterling's Lawn and Garden to see all the amazing in-store specials they have going on.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers is celebrating 25 years of calling Butler home, and they're inviting you to join them for an ice cream social. On Thursday, July 25th at the Tanglewood Center from 5:30 to 7:30, come enjoy a fun few hours with Brewster's Ice Cream, basket raffles, and a chance to visit with the Tri-Rivers physicians and staff. There's no cost to attend, but please RSVP for the event by July 19th by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on It's Your Turn today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Dr. Nick Neupower is here, the president of Butler County Community College. We enjoy a periodic sit-down chat with Dr. Neupower. And, you know, I don't care how long you've lived here, there's always something new to learn about Butler County Community College. And by the way, there are other things that happen there that might surprise you. There's an adult literacy program that is alive and well at Butler County Community College, and these are for people who, for one reason or another, were unable to get their high school diploma. There's a variety of reasons for that, by the way. It could be a family problem, moving, whatever. But there's a great high school equivalency program at BC3, and to show how important it is, you mark it with a graduation ceremony.
Oh, absolutely. And doesn't this speak to the diversity of our college? For the institutions that are putting their eggs in the 18 to 22-year-old traditional demographic going to college, with population being what it is, high school enrollments dropping, that is a big problem. Our campus today is buzzing with activity. We have kids on campus. We're hosting a county event. We want to be the center of Butler County and utilize our terrific facilities in various ways. And among the diversity of our offerings would be this very exciting GED graduation. This will be a high over the last 11 years. We will have 60 students at the 14th commencement exercise for GED. And it is part of our 33-year-old adult literacy program, which would be free to students. 60 students represents the highest graduate total in my time as president, going all the way back to 2007. 40 students in Butler County, 20 in Mercer County, passed the general education development test. And it is a very moving experience, in some ways as moving as our regular commencement, because these are students who have faced some difficulties, whether it be moving, personal, family, and to see these individuals along with their family celebrate this graduation, it'll be a great night.
That's what that stands for, GED. I never knew that. General Education Development,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, wow. That's correct.
Well, they sent me an invitation to the graduation ceremonies next Wednesday. What struck me was they attached the latest map of the campus to the invitation. And I'm a map guy. I don't know. I've been since I was a kid. I've probably got 100 maps in my collection at home. But so, of course, first thing I did was look at the map. I'm struck by how the layout of Butler County Community College has changed since the first time I went on campus. You know, there's a there's a website that does it now. You used to be able to go to the library and find the geographic center of the United States and watch how it moved to the west as we continued to add, you know, territories, the Gadsden Purchase and, you know, Alaska, Hawaii, yada, yada. And obviously the geographic center would continue to move westward from where it would have been at the time of the original 13 colonies. The last time I looked, it was somewhere in Nebraska, where it is now. But I'm looking at this, the latest map of the college, and I'm thinking, my gosh, where was the center of campus the first time I walked on? And it would probably have been around the outdoor forum area.
Yes. And even before that, as you're looking to the map, this is great. I love talking about this, would be the original Armco buildings. And those original Armco buildings, you recall, the old clubhouse, our maintenance building, which will be raised as part of the Victor K. Phillips building. And we've been long overdue with the new maintenance building. But if you can think of those four original Armco buildings, which are now connected, actually connected with the Amy Wise Children's Creative Learning Center. And then up above, we had a bond refinance early in my tenure, and we connected those buildings. And those picnic tables that were right there, that was the original center of campus. And if you were facing what is now the Amy Wise Children's Creative Learning Center, that's where the original graduations were held. I don't know if you could picture that, but there was some grass. There was a ramp that goes down. There's some grass on both sides, and it was covered. And the dignitaries, including Governor Scranton, were looking out, and everyone was looking down. That at one point was the original center of campus. Then you're correct. It moved to the forum area, and now haven't necessarily really thought perhaps even maybe the Heaton would be the center of
campus.
That's
what it kind of looks like, just as I glance at the map, because now, of course, we have the field house and then the
public safety facility,
way out there on that side of campus. But it's a pretty impressive campus map for those of you who have been around here for a while. I know the very first continuing education non-credit night course that I took at Butler County Community College was in one of those original Armco buildings.
Yeah. And Dave, didn't you mention you used to, many years back, I don't know if you'd remember the president, I'd be interested, you used to cover trustee meetings at the college?
I did, yeah.
And who was president then?
Dr. Bartok, I believe, okay. For most of the time that I was doing it. Yes, okay. It was Dr. Bartok. I don't think I remember
Bartok
anybody
was,
before
Bartok
him.
Was... Roughly 92 to about 02, roughly. So that time period, there would have been Dr. Penar shortly before Dr. Bartok. Dr. Price didn't last all that long, and of course we had him on the station here. There was a Woodward going back, and I think I'm getting these in order. And then Dr. Tenhove, and Dr. Tenhove and Dr. Bartok were really excellent presidents. Mm-hmm. But you would have probably covered those in the Lawson boardroom.
And briefly in what is now, it's a different building now. It's across from the Student Success Center. For a while, that their administrative offices were
yes,
in that building.
That is going back a ways. Yes,
yeah.
It's now our continuing education area, and at one time the president's office was there.
Well, if you have idle people in the map department, they might want to get a graphic of the moving geographic center.
Yes,
of
I
the
like
Butler
that idea.
College campus.
It is such a beautiful. It's so beautiful. And for people who are on the campus for the first time, I don't know what it is that they have in mind. Mention that it seems like a four-year institution. Frankly, it looks precisely like a four-year private institution. Just so beautiful.
There's an open house coming up for EMS next week, July 24th. That's Wednesday, I think, of next week. EMS, that's Emergency Medical Services,
yes.
Right?
And speaks to our diversity. That side of the house, public safety, EMS, police services, lifelong learning is so important to our college. And in this day and age, particularly with the shortage, anything that we can do to help prepare individuals for this very important field would be quite important. This open house is July 24th. There's a long period of time here for people to drop by, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., room 110 in the Science and Technology Building. That is the STEM building, and of course that is on our main campus, and we would like to showcase programs such as emergency medical technician, emergency medical responder with those particular certification training programs. And programs can be 100% reimbursable for active Butler County volunteer firefighters.
a final break. We'll come back and have a few closing thoughts in our conversation with Dr. Nick Neupower here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long, stressful? How about expensive? If you are answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With comfy coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. With fares starting at just $3.87, not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park and ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Chronic pain can be a headache. No, really. Chronic pain is defined as any constant or reoccurring pain lasting 3 months or longer, meaning migraine sufferers qualify for medical marijuana in the state of PA. Get relief without the side effects and get on with your day. Call Compassionate Certification Centers at 888-316-9085 and ask if your pain qualifies for a medical marijuana card. The number is 888-316-9085. Or you can visit cccregister.com.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Chatting with Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, here on the It's Your Turn program today. The summer sessions at BC3 are... Well, some of them are in full swing, like the Kids on Campus program, but already you'll be looking ahead to fall semester. Most schools now, whether it's public schools or institutions of higher education, they start in mid and late August, and all of a sudden that's a month away. I mean, that's coming up quickly. I know that Suck Up Theater is going to be kicking off the season again with an ice cream social and a free concert. I'm not sure whether the date of that has been solidified, but I've been talking with Larry Stock. I saw him a few weeks ago, and he said they were going to have an ice cream social to kick things off, so he'll probably have that finalized soon. And, of course, fall semester just around the corner. By the way, I wanted to talk about this because we did a story on this a couple of weeks ago. We actually did it in our sports here on WISR. When you talk about student athletes, a lot of folks think that's, kind of an oxymoron, or when you do use it, it's kind of, wink, wink, student athlete. There was a significant honor for Butler County Community College student athletes once the final grades came in from the spring semester. Can you talk about Dr. Neupower? I thought that was really, really impressive.
What I'm pleased to say is that this was part of a strategic plan, part of one of our goals for an existing strategic plan. And BC3 placed a league-high 30 individuals on the spring sports all-academic team. Our college led the 9-member Western Pennsylvania Collegiate Conference with 30 selections. And it was the second spring in a row in which we had the most selections. And for our 30 students consists of players from men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball, and golf. Must carry a minimum of 12 hours, so this isn't a part-time student. That's a big deal. And those with GPAs between 3.0 and 3.49 attain honors, and GPAs between 3.5 and 4.0 are high honors. And, of course, this coincides with great success of our athletic teams. Men's and women's basketball won conference crowns for the same season for the first time ever. Our golf team under Coach Miller continues to do incredibly well, winning region championships, and we had a couple of individual players who set scoring records. So it's not just about what takes place on the golf course, the field, or the courts. It is certainly all about the success of our students in the classroom, and we're very proud of this incredible honor.
30 student athletes on the all-academic team from the spring semester, and that leads everybody in the Western Pennsylvania Collegiate Conference, which is the league for community colleges here in Pennsylvania. I must close by talking just a little bit about how some of us who are older fail to realize sometimes how many generations have come on since the moonwalk. You know, that's big in the news this week. Well, in a couple of days, have the anniversary of Neil Armstrong stepping onto the moon and so on and so forth. I'm sure many of our listeners have seen TV specials. We had a CBS radio special here on this program a couple of days ago that was just fantastic. It was on that program that I heard CBS radio decided they would go into the classroom, and they were listening to this one professor trying to explain the significance of man first landing on the moon 50 years ago this summer, this week, as a matter of fact. And he asked the students, how long did it take to get to the moon? You know, once they launched from Kennedy Space Center, how long did it take them to get to the moon? The answers were incredible, you know. 20 hours a month. And nobody knew that it was 3 days.
Wow, interesting.
It took 3 days to get there. But then it dawned on me with today's students. I mean, we're college students.
Yeah.
To talk about the man's first landing on the moon, it's like talking about the Spanish-American War or the Civil War, because they have no personal memory whatsoever.
Yeah. And you talk about the start of the fall semester. We have our administrative sharing days, and Dr. Willoughby and I are going to give that same presentation we mentioned previously that we gave at a community college in New York, and talks about generational differences. And, of course, the silent generation, which goes back to World War II, and you work your way up, baby boomers, Gen Xers, all the way up to millennials, and now there's Gen Z. And part of our exercises that we have the individuals according to their generation sitting in certain spots and talk about your worldview and how was your worldview shaped. And generally that has to do with international, global, or even more localized events that took place in your life. And of course, for that baby boomer generation, space travel landing on the moon was a really, really big deal. Also, interestingly enough, for the baby boomer generation, talking about hiding under desks in the Cold War.
Yes.
What's remarkable is that for the Gen Zers, going to school and being wanded to make sure that you don't have weapons. And that just struck Dr. Willoughby and I. And what also was interesting is that the Gen Xers and the Gen Zers had no idea. You're hiding under a desk for the threat of a nuclear attack in the Cold War.
Yeah.
How would that protect you? And for folks who are our age, Dave, not even thinking about walking into your school and having to go through a metal detector. So, yeah, 50 years. And in our line of work, Walter Cronkite, and if I'm not mistaken, I know he did this with the Kennedy assassination. I think there was a tear that came to his eye also with the landing on the moon. So, yeah, it is a very historic week.
And college students today would say,
yeah,
Walter Cronkite? Who was that? There
right.
are implications there for professors of higher education, because they really have to stop and think about that for a second.
Correct.
Know? Don't take too many things for granted.
That's right.
Dr. Nick Neupower, it's always enjoyable. It's always fun to talk with you. Nice to have you
here
today.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate you.
We need to wrap up our program for today. Hey, there's no Pirate baseball tonight. Some might say, thank goodness, take a break, rest up. Hey, home cooking's going to make the big change, I think.
That's
the
right.
Pirates are back home at last after an off day today. They play the Phillies tomorrow night. And we'll have the game for you here on WISR, of course. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy, boy,
oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, there's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. So listen to me, get up off your knees, cause only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know. She made me feel like a clown. There are a whole lot of girls looking for a good man like you. Oh, but you'll never meet him if you give up now and say your life is true. Then she said, oh,